Hello and welcome to Board Gamer. This week we're back with another episode. So we had our special last week and we're going back to our normal format. This week we've got the theme about Japanese board games. This isn't to do with Jay going to Japan at all. That's a complete coincidence, but we're going to roll with it anyway. So cool. How's everyone doing?
Good. Great. Amazing. Speak for everyone.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this episode. It's going to be a fun episode today.
Nice. I hope we've all played a lot of Asian-themed board games. So got something to talk about. Cool. So let's start it off with our game of the week. Tim, that's over to you.
This is not Japanese-themed whatsoever. This is actually based in America. Didn't get the memo. No, we'll go with it. It's a good game. So obviously, we'll start from one side of the world and we'll travel to the other side by the end of the episode. So game of the week this week is Three Ring Circus. I am massively in love with the DeVere games. I think they're just such a great publisher. And I bought Three Ring Circus after kind of going through this rabbit hole of buying DeVere games. And we finally played it like sort of last week, and it was just a really good classic small box, big strategy game. I say small box, it's not actually a small box, but for a big game, it comes in a relatively small square box. So it doesn't look like it should have that much stuff in, just like most of their games. But Three Ring Circus is basically you are all traveling circus troops, and you're trying to get points by scoring it by putting on the best shows across the different states in America. It just plays really lovely. There's basically two actions in the game. You can engage artists, so that's playing artists to your sort of tableau. You have like a player board. They cost money to put them in on your board. But it has this wonderful little mechanic that you can't actually put the expensive cards straight in because you just don't have that much money. And you can't actually get that because your cards are currency as well as the actual artists themselves. So you have to actually spend some of your cards to play them. And you can't have more than 10 cards, so you can never actually afford it. So what you have to do is every time you play a card, the next card you play that's higher, you only pay the difference from the card you played before. So everything gets cheaper. So there's this nice progress in the game. But how you play your artists will depend on where you're playing, like what shows you're putting on in which city. So some cities want you to, they prefer different types of acts. So either magicians or animal acts or I don't know, contortionists or trapeze artists, whatever, you know, there's just sort of anything and everything going on. But some cities want you to have cards in specific places to score higher points. So you've got to really think about that, which has got this really lovely mechanic. Really enjoyed that. But then the second action you could do is perform a show. So you move to the different cities, depending if it's a small town, a medium city, a small town, a small city, and a major city or something like that. You can basically play you can run your show basically, and then that will either give you cards, like so money, or it will give you more artists to use or points, so depending on where you play, and is kind of a structure on how you do that. So as I say, me and Jay played it, we loved it, we thought it was great. Just a little bit of detail, it plays 1 to 4 players. It took us about an hour and a half after the teach, I'd say, roughly. Probably could confine that down, but there is a lot of thinking time in that game because you do have to think, so it does take a little bit longer. But it is for a DeVere game that are normally kind of on the heavier side. I would say this is more of a medium sort of game for them. It's not actually too difficult once you've got the rules down. It's not too difficult to play. Like I said, there's only two actions you can do. One's very, very straightforward. You just play an artist. The second one, there's kind of a structure and a kind of an engine that you run to kind of do that. So Lovely artwork as always by De Vere. Lovely production and lots of little bits to touch and feel. That sounds really wrong, but we're going to go with it. But yeah, really, really nice game. Another classic from De Vere. I am going to put a highlight of that on my Board Gamer Tim Instagram account, so make sure you take a look at that. But overall, fantastic game.
Where would it rank for you in the diverse sphere?
I've played about, I don't know, I'd say five De Vere games now since starting this rabbit hole. I'll definitely say it's in the top tier of those. I won't go into it too much because De Vere might come out a bit later.
Okay. Yeah, we might have a.
Who knows? Spoiler alert. I would say, yeah, probably more in the top tier, middle to top tier. Sand was a
Cool.
really, really good game, but we'll touch on that another time. But I think this was, like I say, for a bit of a lighter game, there was still quite a bit of strategic depth to the game, which made it quite fun.
Yeah, it was really good fun to play. I had a good time. The kind of like the round counter mechanic that they've got in there, it is really cool. So the whole idea is you have to perform before the well-known, oh, what was it called again? Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, the B bit something Barnum.
Yeah, the Barnum, that's it. The Barnum Circus is going round the map, either ahead of you or behind you. So every time you go and perform, they also perform in another city. And then he moves around the board. Every time he hits a major city, you then do a little bit of area control as well, so you then get
Yeah.
scored on how many times you've performed in that area. It's just really cool. It's just really, really cool.
Nice, I love it. It's there any De Vere games you haven't played yet, too?
Yeah, I wanted to play so at AC West, I really wanted to play that that Daitoshi game. So it came out at SN. It looks lovely. It came out at SN, so I wondered if any of them would have it, but apparently it's not going to probably be in retail in the UK till like November time, so gonna have to wait. That's the sad thing of not going to SN. There was an the one game that I'm scared to play just because of how vast it is Botoku, but I do love the look of it. So I have been tempted now I'm in the De Vere scene. Just getting it, giving it a go, even though there just is so much to that game. But yeah.
I was hoping
Yeah.
to play the one that Ben bought. He opened it up on the table, and I was like, oh. But then we played something else instead. But I was like, oh, in the back of my mind, I was like, I'd want to try that. Was it Cities or something he got?
Yeah, Cities. So we played it on Sunday. So me and Lewis popped down to Ben's. I'd literally just played that and came home because I was so burnt out after a long weekend. But went down and played Cities. That is even lighter. That's such a light game. Really, really straightforward. Different sort of mechanics to it. But yeah, still enjoyable. So yeah, really like the look of that. I wanted to buy it, but then I saw Ben pick it up and buy it, and I was like, damn it, that should have been in my collection with my square Kallax box that's de like dedicated to De Vere games. But there we go.
Yeah, I still need to play Salt and Sea as well.
Definitely, that's the one I've also been thinking about playing. So we'll get these games out soon. They've got a game called Rock Hard as well that looks really good. The player boards have got little amplifiers and the dials go up to 11, which is
Oh,
classic.
yes. Yeah, I've
So
seen this.
really, really cool. So want to play that. I just want to play them all. That's the problem.
Yeah, okay. This is slowly turning into the De Vere podcast. And we're going to
Yeah.
have to do a whole special on this.
We are gonna.
Cool. So that was Three Ring Circus. I'm really looking forward to playing that, actually. It's been on my to-playlist for quite a while. Cool. So moving over to the community question. Jake, what have we got?
So for this week, our community question for our audience is, with the theme being Asia and Japan and everything to do with it, what would be your best Asian theme board game? Send us in your thoughts. You can put it on the Discord, you can put it on the Instagram post for the episode, or you can put it on the YouTube channel, and we will come back to your comments on our next episode, where we will answer at the end of the question what your answer would be for what would be your best Asian themed board game. That's our community question for the week.
Nice. I've actually got to remember to come back to that now. I like the accountability. Cool. So, over to tabletop news, and that's going to be me. So, this week, there's a really interesting article on tabletop gaming about the benefits of playing D&D, or more broadly, RPGs with young children. So, I thought it was a really interesting article, because I don't know if it's just me, but I've kind of always related D&D to a more of a game suited to adults, or, well, any RPG, in fact. But it was really cool to see the work that UKGE, where they do the D&D for kids. And I didn't know it had an age rating of 6 years plus. So, yeah, I think that's maybe because, like, games like Baldur's Gate and stuff, you immediately think it's to do with adults playing it. However, as popularised by Stranger Things, where they showed the kids enjoying D&D right at the first episode. So, yeah, I think it was a really cool... And it also showed the benefits to playing it as well. Things such as teamwork... you've also got math skills, the social element to it as well, and communicating with friends and socialising, which is often missed today. So, yeah, I thought it was really cool. Didn't anyone else have anything to note on that article?
I thought it was quite cool. I think you're right, what you were saying, that I guess D&D can go quite dark if you want it to, but you can also make it very light and friendly, and I guess more kid friendly, shall we say, more PG. But I also was going to say, I think you said tabletop in general, like RPGs, because there's so many different variations now. I think we've talked about it before. Like, I think Quinn's Quest does a whole series now on rating different RPG systems and different themed RPGs. So, I think it's great, and like you say, I guess Stranger Things show the whole kids scene, so I guess more and more people will see that and maybe resonate that actually as a kid they could play it. But I think you're right, I think it helps with, I think there was a bit in the article that talked about like resolving like disagreements and being a bit more like maybe coming up with ideas on things, and I think that's so lost with kids now, so I think that's such a good point that it made.
Yeah, there's actually some really emotional RPGs as well, which I don't know, it's a bit different to the standard fantasy elements as well that everyone just assumes is associated with RPGs as well. So there's lots of different genres, not just the typical fantasy setting that everyone can explore. Cool. Moving over to Board Game and Brew, we've got a bit of a special with Jay to take us through this one.
Well, I like we keep mentioning, I didn't pick this. Well, I kind of did because it gives me an excuse to actually go there. So I'm going to Japan in the next couple of weeks for a holiday. Well, there's a holiday. And I'm hoping to go to a place called The Hearth, and it's in Osaka. Looks really cool. They've got plenty of board games there, all in the pictures. They've got a 4.8 Google review, so that's really good. The menu, obviously, is pretty cool, so I'm hoping to work my way through as much of that as I possibly can while going around there. And I'll probably give you a live report while I'm there or something. I'll record something and give you a little bit more of a review while I'm actually there. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I didn't pick it intentionally, but you know.
Yes, you did.
I did. I'm sorry. I
love how the Board Game and Brewers slowly... We've gone from just the Midlands to the UK to America, and now we've hit Japan as well.
Love it. It's so good, isn't it?
So cool. That's brilliant. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that live reaction of you eating ramen in the Board Game and Cafe. I think it'd be great. All right, let's get back on track with the Board Gamer Showcase. So let's start it off with a light game of the Board Gamer Showcase. What have we got, Jake?
So the first game, the light game, is going to be Sushi Go Party. Now, honestly, I've played this a lot with loads of different groups. Always goes down well. It's super easy. The game takes like 20 minutes, if that. You can play up to 8 people. I know on the smaller version of Sushi Go, you can play a smaller player count. I think most people get the Metal Box Party version now. It's brilliant. There is just so much replayability. It's a super fun game. And yeah, it's drafting. It helps people get into learning the drafting mechanic, which is used in lots of games. So it's a brilliant game for really trying to... maybe just try and introduce people to board games and new concepts of board games, because I know a lot of people that haven't had a go at drafting before or seen drafting in games. So this whole idea of, you know, you take a whole hand and you pass them all to the left, and then you take one and you take it, pass it to the left. That's brand new, and it's quite exciting enough to watch the reactions of people playing it for the first time. And yeah, it's new concept, and they really enjoy it, and it really goes down well. And it's super duper light. I mean, this is such an easy game. So it's easy, it's fast, it goes to a high player count. It's usually best if you play it around 4 or 5 people, but I've played games up to 6, 7, or 8, and it still works really well. So yeah, Sushi Go Party, light themed, Japanese themed, definitely highly recommend it.
Nice. That's a great show for a light party game. I think it's one of my favourites, to be honest. It's quite funny. We was playing another game this week, and I won't say what game it is. That can be for a future episode, because we're going to go on another tandem. But every time it got mentioned, Aaron, our friend, was going, oh yeah, this is just like whatever the action is out of Sushi Go. This is the chopsticks, or yeah. Really cool. I love that game. I do think the party one is way better. Nice. So that is our first light Japanese game, Sushi Go Party. Moving over to the medium game, Tim.
So this is a game that came out this year. I had the privilege of playing this also at AC West just a week ago. Not quite a week ago, but so we met up with some friends from Wales, and this was on the list, so I definitely bring that. And it's really appropriately themed for Jay's themed podcast, because it's called Let's Go to Japan. It's a game about planning a trip to Japan, which is great. It was, I would say, a brilliant game. Like, I know I say that I like games, and I say, oh yeah, I like that game, that game's good, but this is actually a brilliant game. It was just really lovely play style. You have a board in front of you that has Monday through to Saturday, I think it was. Was it Sunday or Saturday was the last day? Saturday, I thought it was. And it's another drafting game, fully enough. So the difference is you pick two cards. So the first few rounds, you pick two cards up, you take one and you pass the other one on. It goes to like the players to the next to you. It goes to their like player board rather than in their hand. You do this a few more times. You pick up two more cards, you pass the one over, pick two more cards, pass it over. When you get to the next phase, you have to pick up the cards that everyone left you. So now you've got four cards and you play two and you pass two on. Then you pick four more up from the deck and you play two, pass two on. And it's just got this wonderful mechanic of just a slight refreshing way of drafting. It's not just so linear as just passing the cards to the left or right. And then you've just got to play these cards. Each day can have three things in them, basically, and that's what the game is. Once you've filled up all 6 days with three cards, the game's over, and then you do a scoring. If you've ever played Far Away, it's a little bit like that. You have to kind of plan your trips to build the symbols up to get the scoring, the bonus scoring, but also each card gives you scoring. The cards also trigger different effects as you go along. But one of the things I really loved, and I just didn't play it very well in my first playthrough whatsoever, is every time you switch from Tokyo to Kyoto, you have to put one of these little train tokens in between because you're traveling. But these train tokens aren't quite easy to get, so you have to really think that through. So I'm just putting cards down, and then I realized I'm going back and forth like an idiot from Tokyo to Kyoto every like day, so I needed all these tokens, didn't get them, and I got -2 points along the way quite a bit, so I played it terribly. But it's a lovely game, and once you've played a first game, it leaves you thinking how you could have scored better. It was one of those games I actually got home and went to bed, and all I could think of is how I could have scored better, what I could have done better. And I was just desperate to play another game of it. And I was just so sad that we didn't play it a bit earlier in the day, because I'd seen it at one of the stalls and I was tempted by it, but I wanted to play it first. But by the time we played it, all the stalls had finished and they'd shut up for the day. So sadly, I didn't have it, but I was desperate to play it. And I was like, I don't have it. I've been tempted to buy it online, but then I was thinking I'm on a bit of a spending ban at the moment. So I'm trying to stop buying board games, because I've already bought three Ring Circus, as mentioned before, and I've got a Kickstarter coming soon. But it's a brilliant game, highly recommended. If you get a chance to play it, whether it's at your local cafe or whatever, definitely recommend giving it a go.
Nice, great review. I'm looking forward to playing that. So, on to our final Board Gamer Showcase game of the week. It's my turn for the heaviest game that we've got. And I've chosen the White Castle for this. Another De Vere game. So we're back on the De Vere hype. The White Castle, I think we may have talked about it previously, so I'll give you just a brief overview. It's a fantastic game. That small box, big strategy style. It's the artwork is just stunning. It's set, I'm not quite sure what part of Japan. I think it might be just Kyoto.
It must be Kyoto, because it's just a temple, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and it's as I said, the theme is just lovely. The artwork is amazing. It's got a few, it's multifaceted in terms of, there's a lot of mechanics that you've probably seen before, just kind of all amalgamated into one. So at first it can look quite overwhelming, but then you'll be like, oh, I remember this mechanic from this game. And it kind of all ties together quite nicely. And it doesn't feel like a mashup, I would say. I really like the bridges on the left-hand side, where you've got there's three dice per bridge, and then on the dice you can either choose the lower end, which will give you the worst results, but you get a nice little bonus with it as well, or you can choose the higher dice and you can do a more powerful action with it. And the dice are how you they're basically the worker placement spots on the board. You've also got your own player board as well, where you've got resources, and they're also ways of getting the resources from the board. It's just a super nice game where it doesn't define one strategy. You can go crazy on the heron track, or you can go crazy on trying to get the, I forgot what the bridge bonuses are called now.
The lantern action.
Yeah, the lantern action, that's it. And also trying to get your workers as far up on the temple as possible. So there's a few different ways of going about playing the game. And yeah, it's severe, so the artwork and the components just look amazing.
I love it. Smart. I think that's my favourite De Vere game by far.
Yeah, out of the ones I've played, I think I agree with you. It's just everything about that game I love. I can play at any moment. If anyone says, oh, are you up for a game of the White Castle, I'll just never say no.
What I think is really good, like, I think you said, like, there's no defined strategy. And every game is different because you're randomizing the board. So actually, the board can dictate actually maybe a strategy you might go down depending on it. And what you said about the bridges, funnily enough, me and Jay had a game. Jay's brother came down, and the funny thing is, even we were rolling like really good numbers. So even the low action were like fives and sixes, and we were like, "This is great! Yeah, we're getting so much money from everything." But I think my favourite bit about that game is the nine turn thing. I think that's just, you literally have nine turns in the game. Three turns, three rounds, and you have to make the most out of it. And some turns are a little bit lackluster. It is just about just getting some resources. But then you can have this ridiculous... I did actually a write-up of this for my Board Gamer Tim account, because when we played it, I took a few pictures and I thought I'd put it up. And I said it, I wrote it as the sort of John Wick of board game moves, because it just triggers this hectic combo where you just suddenly do all these mad things and you're like, this is crazy. And you just feel amazing once you've done it. And that is what gets it for me. And I also said I love the end of the game, because every time we've played it, we've all kind of said, I wish we had one more move to just do this. And I love this feel of like you're always trying to get the perfect game, but you're just not quite getting it. So it makes you want to play it again to see if you can ever make a perfect game.
Yeah, it's seeing that love last dice left on the bridge, and you're like, oh, what could I have done with that? I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have built that. But yeah, it's good. It was pretty cool seeing that, especially because you'd got a bit of an engine built at one point, and you picked the right dice, and then it was just like four or five things happened in one.
Yeah, I think I put a warrior that allowed me to put a farmer out, that allowed me to then put a courtier out. It was like a bit of a nuts move, wasn't it? But then I used the lower dice that triggered my lantern action as well, so I just comboed this mad move in one turn. And it is so rewarding. It is the most rewarding feeling when you get a good move like that.
Yeah. I've heard some people say that they don't like the nine turns. So, I don't know. For me, that's a good thing. As you said, it keeps it real tight. And
definitely.
It's all about efficiency.
They can all just go away. No, I'm joking. Please don't go away.
It's funny, like, for how like heavyweight it is and how much you can do, it is still relatively simple. In a sense,
I think so.
It's even though, yeah, you've got so many options, it all makes sense.
Pick a dice, put it on a worker action spot. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But yeah, great choice. I love it.
Nice. Cool. So finally, we're on to Back the Board. So our Back the Board this week, luckily, we have actually got Japanese-themed Back the Board Kickstarter game. So the game is called Tatsumi. It's by Adam's Apple Game. I love that publishing name. So you play as a dragon competing against each other. You're gathering resources, so you're at sea, and you're using them to score on your island, and yeah, you want to provide as much good resources as you can to the people that are located on your island. The artwork looks great. It's designed by Jeremy Rosenhart, and the art is by Shirley Gung. The game is for 1 to 4 players. It says it takes 40 minutes. So take that with a pinch of salt, because I think all the games say they're going to take about 40 minutes and they end up being a two-hour game. But it looks really cool. I love the artwork. Quite similar to how the White Castle's artwork is. So hopefully once it comes into production, it's something similar. I can't tell you too much about it because they haven't released everything for it yet. But from the initial founding of it, it's looking very cool. Cool. That was a really good episode. I enjoyed that. Definitely get in touch with our community question and follow us on all our social media channels, and especially come and join us on our Discord. It's at the top of our Instagram profile where we've got the link tree and the server invite there, and get involved in all the conversations that we have about board game and other stuff as well.
Nice one.
Cool. I really enjoyed that. We'll see you all next time. And yeah, keep on board gaming.
Yeah.